Okay, we're starting a new halacha, getting close to the end here with the halachas of Shabbos. Not that close, but close enough. The next two halachas are Bona and Soser, which pretty much go together, so we're going to deal with them together. Most of the Sfarim also deal with them together. Bona is building, and Soser is demolishing. And first we'll discuss what the halacha from the Torah is, what the Torah halacha is. Obviously, rabbinically, it applies to much more than just what we're going to say right now. First of all, bone is predominantly with things connected to the ground. Okay, and that can be in one of two ways. Either things mamish connected to the ground or the ground itself. Bone can be in the ground itself. And Soser is taking apart those things that that you would be considered building. So building a house and putting the foundation into the ground is binyan from the Torah. And even adding to a binyan, even a small amount, is also chayiv from the Torah. If you have a wall and you add, even without any plaster, without something to the top of the wall to make it, and your intention is to leave it there to make the wall higher, like they put stones atop of the wall to make it higher, you're chayiv min haTorah. And if you dig a hole with the intention of filling it with something for the sake of building, like piles or whatever that you put into the holes as a foundation for something, digging that hole is also considered building. Or smoothing out a floor or filling up holes in a floor in a house is considered building. In the field, that would be considered plowing. But in a house or a place where you build, smoothing out the ground and making it smooth for building or living, putting holes in the ground is all part of binyan.
What if you have a hole or an empty window frame and you want to cover it with just cardboard?
We'll see. Hold up. We'll get to those. The details we're going to get to eventually. Not tonight, but eventually. Okay. The toldos of Bonet are building not something connected to the ground, but something that is kavua on the ground. For instance, a caravan. A caravan's not connected to the ground, but you don't move it around. It's basically, what?
I think our caravan is actually.
Let's talk about something else besides caravans. The
mobile home.
Right, mobile home, right. The what?
If our caravans had wheels, they wouldn't work anyways.
Right. I'm more concerned with what's in the caravans, not what the caravans are.
That would be Soser in the caravans, not Binyan.
So something like that, it's not easily movable, and it's made to stay on the ground in one place. Also, there's a din of binyan. Kalin, building in things that are movable, that aren't kavu on the ground, not connected to the ground. What's it called? The utensils. So there is a big machlokus whether building by utensils is something that is never chayiv for binyan. And many Rishonim hold that if you just put together a collapsible kind of kli, that's not called binyan. Building onto a kli, right, is not called binyan from the Torah. But making a kli is called binyan. Creating a kli is a binyan. So according to some, if you blow a glass glass and blow it, you know, with glass blowing, that's binyan. You're building something, even though it's not connected to the ground and it's not set on the ground. Putting together a kli in a way that's professional and strong, that's going to stay together, like putting together a hoe with the handle and the bottom piece, where it's going to, you want it to stay like that. You put it together in a tight way that it's going to stay, not temporary. Then that, what's it called, may also be binyan. There are those that say that there is no such thing as binyan with things that are not connected or kavua on the ground, kalim. And however, there can be a way that to be do something that's usher from the Torah with a kli, making a kli, that's called makabapatish. That's called putting the finishing touches on something. It's not binyan. What's the difference? Either way, you're chayiv, and it's osur midrabanan. If it's not the way that it's chayiv, there's a very big difference. We're not going to get to the details of it tonight, but the difference is there is no malacha of undoing makeh bepatish, but there is a malacha of undoing binyan called soser. So if you build a kli and it's called building, then taking apart a kli would be soser. It'd be also osur min haTorah. If it's for a positive reason, and midrabanan, if it's a negative reason. If it's makeh bepatish, there is no malacha of taking apart makeh bepatish, so there wouldn't be any yisr. So this will be big nafkamina in opening bottles and cans or whatever. Is it possible to have soser by a kli, right, or not? That when we get to opening, that's going to be part of this malacha. We'll include in this makeh bepatish too eventually, and we're going to get to opening cans and bottles and caps and whatever, and see what the different opinions are. That this is one of the factors that is significant, whether building a kli, making a kli can be building, or it can only be makeh bepatish. Okay. Okay, tonight I just want to speak about the obviously building a building is not something that somebody's going to end up doing by accident or whatever. Even putting a nail in the wall, right, or putting back a nail in the wall if it was loose is binyan. That's as close as you can come to building a building or adding to a building on Shabbos. That's something that could be done. But what you can end up doing is smoothing out a floor, right, and there are mostly rabbinic things to do with that, and that is what's it called, sweeping and mopping, and what's it called, our osur in the house, because you may come to smooth out the floor, fill up holes, or take away mounds, and therefore the rabbis prohibited sweeping on Shabbos and mopping on Shabbos. Now, obviously, this only applies to a dirt floor, right? You're not going to fill the holes or take away the mounds on tiles. It doesn't exist. But, what? Yeah, but there's no earth there. There's whatever it is. There's plaster or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, the Shiloh, whether that, since you wanted to remain with the hole, right, you don't care if it's filled up or not filled up. Could be that's not called binyan b'chlal. But in any case, the Rabbanan Aser doing it on a made floor, because we're afraid you may come to do it on a dirt floor. Okay, so normally sweeping would be Aser, even on a what's it called? A
tiled.
What? Tile floor? Okay, let's call it tile floor, with any kind of floor. Right, wood floor, whatever. Right, a finished floor. Even on a finished floor, for fear that you would do it on an unfinished floor. The exception to that is a place where there are any unfinished floors, where the entire city, right, has only finished floors, which is most places in the advanced world today, right? So in Matit Yahu, nobody has dirt floors, only have finished floors. And they may have dirt on the floors, but they don't have dirt floors. Therefore, you're allowed to sweep your house on Shabbos. Considering that you use a broom where the bristles don't break, so all the brooms today are synthetic brooms, and there's no problem with that. So you can sweep your house on Shabbos. However, this heter of sweeping was only because sweeping is a very important thing to do, and people really can't go without sweeping a floor on Shabbos. Right? It becomes unbearable sometimes. But mopping isn't so important. You don't mop every day or every time something spills or whatever. And therefore, mopping they didn't permit. Even if all the floors in the city are finished, you still can't mop a floor. That they weren't mopping.
We don't sponge it.
So sponge is the same thing. You can't put water down and be made diach. Wash the floor. You can't wash the floor in any way. So what's it called? The sponge is the same thing. Made diach means washing the floor. You can't wash the floor.
What if the floor is already wet? Are you allowed to sponge it?
So to what's it called? To if you have a flood, you want to get the water away. That's not called washing the floor. That's called disposing of the water.
But what if the line said, "We'll clean all the floor"?
What? It's okay. That's not your floor. That's not your intention, and that's not what the Rabbanan answered. That's so you can take water and throw it out and squeegee it out, but you can't squeegee the floor to wash it. However, if you have one specific spot that something spilled or somebody vomited on the floor, and you can put water on that spot and squeegee that one spot, or take a rag that you don't care about, based on the halachas we learned about squeezing out water or absorbing water into something, a rag that you use for rags that you're not interested in squeezing out or whatever, and not make it so wet that you have to squeeze it, you can wipe up a spill in one area, but not the majority of the room or whatever, anything more than one little area. Another thing that they assert is, another thing you're allowed to do is to put water down on the floor that the dust shouldn't rise. Not to wash the floor, but that's called ziluf. You sprinkle water on the floor to hold down the dust. They do that on Simchas Torah in a lot of places.
Baseball fields.
What?
Baseball fields, they do that.
Baseball, but that you can't do. That's not a finished floor.
Say they do that both.
Right, I get. Okay, but in the house, you have dust and it's rising and you want to keep it down so you can wet the floor, but you can't wash the floor. Okay. Another thing, you're not allowed to play games with marbles or any other kind of thing that you roll on the floor where you may come to smooth out the playing surface, right? Now, that applies, obviously, outside on a dirt floor. But here again, they assert even on not a dirt floor, right, for fear that you may do it on a dirt floor. Now, here's a machlokas. Some hold that inside the house and not a dirt floor, you can play marbles on the floor. Others hold that no matter where it is, even on a finished floor, you're not allowed to play anything on the floor that could come to where you need a smooth playing field. So that's usher. If you put it on a table, or you put what's it called, a rug on the floor, not a carpet. No, it's not the carpet that's connected to the floor. Carpet connected to the floor has the same din as a finished floor. If you're not allowed to do it on a finished floor, you're not doing it on the carpet either. But if you have something that's moving, a rug that just lies on the floor, a mat, and you're playing on the mat, that's like playing on a table. So if you want to play marbles, but games where you don't roll the things, you don't need a smooth area, like a kugelach, jacks, right, where you don't roll them. You just need to play them on the ground, but there's no, you don't need that the ground be level. There you're allowed to play those games. But marbles not, and therefore outside, for sure, you wouldn't be allowed to play a game where it's on the ground, the ball rolls on the ground, and it'd be like kickball, soccer, what's it called, I don't know what other, bowling on a thing, whatever. There also would be the same thing as marbles, except they're big marbles. So what? Right, you may smooth out the thing. If you have a mound or you have a hole, you'll smooth it out because you want to have a smooth...
What about a place that comes like in like Baltimore, a place like America, where you won't find a sandbox or a place where all you have is grass and cement. There's nothing to smooth out.
There is dirt somewhere in the city.
How about candy? You know, after Bar Mitzvah, just...
What?
Candy.
What's that? So therefore... La halacha, therefore, it's good. It's good to be machmer. It's good to be machmer. If you want to let your kids play marbles or whatever, even inside the house, they should put down a mat or a movable carpet. If that's down, even if it's normally down, but it's not connected to the floor, that's also okay. Or on a table, ping pong you can play. Meikar hadin. This is not really here. You can play, therefore, games like baseball, catch, football, not soccer football, real football, right? Even on the grass, even on earth, because you don't have to smooth out the field.
They do. They really do, though. Like,
what?
They really, when you're up to bat, you move around the dirt with your foot, pitchers moving around the dirt.
Yeah.
Whenever you're walking on the field, you always...
These people always moving their feet back, we're smoothing out there. It happens just naturally.
I hear, so if that's part of the game of baseball, maybe a problem.
Yeah, unavoidable.
But outs the ball, it's not a problem. However, it says that playing ball on Shabbos specifically is mentioned. It's not something that is l'kavod Shabbos. It definitely, if you go to places where there's Erevin, and see kids playing soccer, it's totally not Shabbos thing. So therefore, since the Aruch HaShulchan brings down this Yerushalmi, that the city of Tur Shimon was destroyed because they played ball on Shabbos. So we have a takana here in Matit Yahu that ball playing outside, even though it's mutter, here it's also. It's not the proper thing to do, and we don't want it done on Shabbos here. When I put up an Erev in Miami, one of the conditions that I made, that I agree there should be an Erev in the community, is that people don't play ball on Shabbos. Children don't play ball, and that adults didn't go to play tennis on Shabbos, which is totally not Shabbos thing, right? And as long as I was there, pretty much, because I threatened that the first time I see people playing ball, I'll take down the Erev. But subsequently, when I go back there for a visit, I see plenty of people playing ball. Now, there's a million different shuls. Nobody has the right to take on the Erev, so the threat doesn't mean anything, and nobody is being makbid, and it really bothers me.
Well, they have had their share of weather problems.
We can blame it on that. Now we know the reason. Thank you. Right, I'm going to be blamed for the hurricane. I have enough sorrows. Right. Yeah, and outside. Oh, so let's say this. So now, the boys who are big Talmidei Chachamim came to me a few times already, recently, not in the last few weeks, in the last few months for sure. And they want to know what's called outside, since I said you can't play ball outside, and since they brought me the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that says Beferish you're allowed to play ball on Shabbos, which I told them I also once saw that Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and I'm aware of it, and still, right, still you're not allowed to play ball here. So they wanted to know, now they're bigger Talmidei Chachamim, they want to know what exactly is called outside, right? So they know that playing ball inside is okay. What about the mirpeset outside the house, right? So if it's a fenced-in mirpeset, since the mice it's mutter, right? And it's not like having a big game that you can have. Nobody has a mirpeset here that you can have a real big game. It's just a small throwing around the, what's it called, a ball on the mirpeset. L'chara, that should be okay. I'm not going to go extra chumrah and a chumrah here. So if they want to play ball on a mirpeset, that I don't see that to be a real zilzul in Shabbos. But doing it out up by the shul in that area, or on the baseball field, or anywhere else public, that already is makes Shabbos look like it's not Shabbos. Like it's soccer l'chara should be also even on a tile ground, even inside the house.